For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Hour number three of the G-Bag Nation. How do you think your school, if you're in a new conference, is going to fare this year? And do you like Pat McAfee on College Game Day? Let's talk some college football as the countdown to fall is on. We're 3 weeks away from going to Cowboys training camp. We're also the home of your World Series champion Texas Rangers. Corey Seager not in the lineup again tonight. It will be Josh Smith batting second and playing shortstop. Marcus Semien continues to lead off. Nathaniel Lowe will be batting third at first. Adolis Garcia DHing and batting fourth. Wyatt Langford in the five hole in left field. Jonah Heim sixth and catching. Travis Jankowski will be in right field batting seventh. Leody Taveras at center field batting eighth. And Jonathan Ornelas will be manning that hot corner at third.
Let's go, Rangers.
And the bottom of the lineup. Rangers looking to win three in a row with John Gray on the bump. A couple hours away from talking with Jared Sandler, getting you set for that. Zach Wolchuk, Brian Broaddus, Eric Chiafalo, Lucius Alexander, and Carter Freeman, who's joining us in studio now.
Hello, hello.
Talking some college football now. Your Oklahoma Sooners, as you wear your Oklahoma gear.
Loud and proud.
Austin Peay?
Yeah, it's a shirt that says "Let's go
Let's
pee."
Go
Why
pee.
Would I not buy this?
I mean, he's got
the OU hat,
OU and Austin all in one package together.
Let's go pee.
My
is a good
favorite
shirt,
FBS school, my favorite FCS school. All levels of football I like to represent.
So I know we got Oklahoma fans, we got Texas fans listening, we got SMU fans, Colorado. If you've got a school that's joining a new conference, how do you think you're going to fare? 877-881-1053. ESPN. Put out an article today by the numbers of how they predict these teams to do. Oklahoma going from the Big 12 to the SEC. Their projected wins, 7.5. They're projected to win 3-4 games in conference. Their strength of schedule ranking is third. And they write for years, OU fans like Carter Freeman complained about a lack of thrilling big-name regular season opponents, for better or worse. The Sooners are getting exactly what they've craved. Not every SEC team plays elite teams week in and week out, no matter what SEC fans want to tell you, Brian Broaddus. But after a light non-conference slate, Oklahoma damn near does exactly that. Of its 8 SEC opponents, 6 are projected 16th or better in their power rankings, and the worst of the bunch is number 43, South Carolina. So that projects the Sooners as one of the best 15 teams in America and gives them a 7% chance of going 10 or 2 or better. The average top 5 team could accept a win percentage of only about 9.5 wins against this slate. So they think this is going to be a rough schedule. Oklahoma's lucky if they get to 8 wins.
I think 8-4 is pretty attainable, honestly. I mean, you can correct me if there's a ton of bias coming from this, but I look at OU as a program on the rise, and I don't see why we shouldn't. Like, yes, Venables and OU went 6-7 in his first season, but they went 10-3 last year. Like, I don't think people are giving them enough credit for how well they played last year. And I know they lost Dylan Gabriel to Oregon, but the reason he left was because they have the stud 5-star freshman, Jackson Arnold, coming in.
Denton
and
Geyer.
People are expecting a lot from him. So I think that's what the season will hinge on. But if you look at the rest of the roster, a ton of the defense that improved vastly from 22 to 23 is back. The offense was a little bit of a question mark as far as the skill positions last year. They showed a lot in my mind, like the young wide receiver, Nick Anderson, and Jahlil Farouk. Like, a lot of those guys are back. And so I don't see why this roster and this team can't be competitive week in, week out in the SEC. But again, I'm wearing an OU hat, so take that with a grain of salt.
Yeah, and don't forget about the undies you're wearing, too.
In the socks.
Guilty as charged.
Texas.
I actually don't have the OU socks on today. I do wear them a lot, though.
They're giving Texas a better chance to have success moving from the Big 12 to the SEC. Their strength of schedule, not as high as OU's.
Yeah, because 14th. You know why? because they've been poor for the last 15 years, and the way the SEC built their schedule in the 16 team era is the last 10 years, your record, you know, the lesser teams or teams that won less play the teams that won less. That's why OU has a harder schedule, because they've been the better team over the last decade.
Horns are benefiting
from that.
Living
in the past over there, Carter?
They do catch Georgia.
Their projected wins are 10, and they're projected to win 6 in conference. Compared to Oklahoma, Texas got off easy in its 2024 draw. The only reason the Horns are ranked even 14th in their strength of schedule is because of non-conference, taking a trip to Michigan in Week 2. Mm-hmm. They face an utterly titanic Week 8 visit from Georgia, 1 week after their Red River rivalry game against OU. But the only other top 20 SEC opponent on the schedule is Texas A&M. And they play them over Thanksgiving weekend. We get that rivalry renewed. That's going to be beautiful. But Texas, their chances in the SEC, they seem to be very much higher than Oklahoma's, mainly because of the strength of schedule difference here.
It is a strength of schedule, and they went to the playoff last year, so I think a lot of people are going to look to that. But they, and again, I'm wearing an OU hat. Take this with a grain of salt. They lost quite a bit from that playoff team. Like, their two best defensive players and a lot of their great offense is gone. But the thing with Texas that they've managed to fix under Steve Sarkisian is just a lot of the little things. They focused on building the offensive line like a real offensive line again.
Yep.
That's why they were so good at running the ball last year. And I know they lost Jonathan Brooks to the draft, but they have Baxter, I believe is his last name. I'm sure they've got some more 4 or 5 star freshman running backs coming in. Like, Sark is a great offensive mind. I don't expect it to fall off too much, but you did lose quite a bit of talent from that team last year.
They did. Yeah. Their offensive line's fantastic, and watch out for Jontae Cook, DeSoto's own. He's about to cook at wide receiver.
Just look at their schedule. I believe they play 4 teams with brand new head coaches.
And that includes
Michigan as well. But
Sherrone Moore.
You look at the situation, Mississippi State, Vanderbilt, and then, you know, Texas A&M as well involved there. And there's some coaches in the SEC. They're definitely on the hot seat, and they make those trips. They got Florida, and then they go to Arkansas. Those are two coaches right there that will probably, at that point in time, their teams could either be saving their jobs, or then Texas might have a little bit of a walkover against Florida and Arkansas with coaches that are probably going to be fired.
Yeah. Speaking of college football from the 469, 13 days away from the early release of college football 25. Let's get excited,
ooh,
baby.
So Carter, close. Are you on the early release? Can't are wait. You on the list?
So I'm going to be in Norman that weekend, and my buddies there have already pre-ordered.
Let's go.
Game. So yeah, the Friday we get there, that's probably all we're going to do is play this game.
That's going to be so much fun. You get to, that's like perfect timing.
It really is.
That's beautiful. SMU, AAC to the ACC. They're projected to get over 9 wins. They're projected to win over 5 games in conference. Now, of course, that strength of schedule considerably lower at 84. Now, they write the upgrade isn't as much as you would think for a team jumping from the group of 5 to the power 4. The ACC has 6 projected top 30 teams, including SMU. But Rhett Lashley's Mustangs are scheduled to play only 2 of them. They got Florida State in Week 6. Then at Louisville in Week 7. Otherwise, if they're really a top 30 team, like their power rankings suggest on ESPN, they could be favored in as many as 10 games. Are we expecting SMU to be a sneaky playoff contender this year?
I have said that SMU, as far as teams coming from a group of 5 level to a power level, their roster year over year in that transition year, it's as good as I think any of these teams have ever had. So, I mean, they won the American last year, and they beat Tulane, who was a very good team, in their conference championship game with their backup quarterback. So I think what Lashley's done there is turn them into a machine similar to what they were in the 1980s with a lot less controversy with the under-the-table money. Mm-hmm. So I really like them. That back-to-back with Florida State and Louisville is going to be tough, and they played Duke 2 or 3 weeks after that Louisville game. And that's a sneaky, they have Texas's old quarterback, Malik Murphy. And he's one of the more interesting starting quarterbacks going into at least the ACC this year. And that's at Duke. So that's kind of a toss up game to me.
This is where the ACC schedule will drive you nuts. Because as you mentioned, SMU's got 3 games in a row on the road. They got Louisville, Stanford, and Duke. They go Louisville, Stanford. So now they're on the West Coast playing a game, and then they turn around and go all the way the opposite coast to play Duke.
Yeah, they have a bye week after the Louisville game, but that's tough.
That is going to be a tough row to hoe right there. They got beat by, didn't they lose their bowl game, SMU, to Boston College.
In that, they play,
the Fenway Bowl, right?
They play next season. Yeah.
That's Fenway Bowl. So, you know, I expect SMU to play well this year. I also expect when you need SMU to get a win, then all of a sudden it's a loss against Boston College or Virginia or Cal.
So yeah.
They have some stupid loss that kind of prevents them from, you know, from getting where they actually need to be.
And they were kind of like that in the American up until last year. They would start out 6-0, 7-0, and then find a dumb way. Like they lost to Houston a couple years ago on a last-second punt return or kickoff return.
In Houston,
things like that,
They do catch Florida State early, though.
Yeah, week six.
That's their first ACC game. So that's going to be really fun. Welcome to the conference.
BYU and TCU, too, on a non-conference as well.
Mm. That's interesting. BYU, that's always a tough out right there.
Yeah.
Pat McAfee, this is a story that I've had for a little bit here, but he remains unsigned with ESPN's College Game Day as the season nears. Did you guys like McAfee? Because I thought he added quite a breath of fresh air on that show with the kicking challenge that they were doing.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought he was very entertaining. Some people just don't like the style of broadcasting that he brings. Yeah. I do. I enjoy what McAfee does.
I think Pat McAfee on College Game Day was highly prepared. You know, I think when it came to his evaluations, his opinions, how he broke down the games each week, I love when they do their picks. You know, I mean, we all laughed about the Alabama pick against Georgia and all that buildup. But I think that Pat McAfee came with some really, really good information, you know. And I liked David Pollack at one time.
I liked David Pollack too.
But to me, give me Pat McAfee over David Pollack.
I thought they had a really good chemistry on the set there with Howard.
McAfee keeps saying like, I don't want to be the guy that if everybody hates me, I'm not going
to
do this.
Well, and that's what ESPN, they issued a statement to regarding Andrew Marchand's report about this. And basically, the ESPN representative said, I think from time to time, Pat likes to just muse on what he may or may not want to do.
Yeah.
We're not in the business of handcuffing anybody to a table. This is not unique to Pat. If somebody comes to us and says, hey, I'd rather do this or that instead of that, we'll listen and we'll have those conversations. But they expect Pat to be part of College Game Day. Okay. So I guess if he wants to do it, he can do it.
Yeah.
But to his point, he acknowledges he's not for some crowds and maybe some of the pushback that he got because College Game Day, I think we're all kind of firing that up on Saturday morning, gearing up for college football.
Absolutely.
Some people just didn't like him, and maybe he didn't really like the backlash that he got.
Yeah, I think for the most part, he's pretty well received, at least on those campuses with the live audiences.
Absolutely.
He's a showman. I think he's fantastic. I love the style, the energy. I think he's funny. I love when his crew goes out there the day before and does their show that campus. You know,
they get head coach on.
I think the whole thing's cool, but if you don't like it, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, it's hard for me to dislike someone who buys into the product so much. Mm-hmm. And like, I think College Game Day is just a staple for me, no matter who's on it. I'm always going to watch it, even with Lee Corso well past the age he should be on there. I'll still watch it for the headgear picks every Saturday.
They're not going
to
run him out there again this year, are they?
Yeah, they are.
I think that is getting to the point where it's like, come on, man.
Oh, was at that point 5 years ago.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, but the thing about it is he's got that whole set. Nobody is. I mean, if you listen to interviews with Kurt Herbstreit, he will get run over by a car before he lets something bad happen.
They adore him.
Yeah, I know.
And I understand. Yeah, you're right. And it's cringy at times. It's hard, and you don't want to see him like forget stuff along the way. You know, it just reminds you. Hell, we had a damn debate where the guys were forgetting everything going on.
Sure,
you know?
Yeah, that's
so,
true.
I mean, that's the kind of stuff that we have to deal with. But I tell you what, that to me is one of the best watches. That show with all they do.
It's fantastic.
It's a great, great show.
And Lee Corso for president.
They're adding Nick Saban to this.
See, that's what I wanted
season,
to ask you guys.
I think he's going to be a part of things.
Okay, where does he fit into all this stuff? Okay, maybe he takes over the Corso spot. But is Nick Saban the whole show guy? Would you like him on the whole time or just part of the time?
I think either one would work. I'd be fine with him the whole show, but if you just brought him on for a couple of segments to go super inside a matchup or whatever, I'd be fine with that as well. But I think Nick Saban, like, that's college football. That is, he's sitting there the whole time. Yeah, it's my call.
Absolutely.
If you told me Nick Saban was going to be on all the time, bump Lee Corso out of there then.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, swap out one coach for another.
You can have Lee do his, you know, his pick where he puts on the mascot head. And you don't have to have him on the whole show. But if Lee still wants to be a part of this, hey, you're grandfathered in, bro. Just do that one part.
I do watch that show when he's on, and I'm like, please, just push me in the lake if I get to that point.
It's tough to watch.
Yeah, it's tough because you feel sad for him. You
can't really understand what he's saying.
I remember when they were doing it in studio with him and Chris Fowler and Herbstreit when they started, and they were in studio, not even on the road doing this stuff.
Yeah.
Man, that was must watch.
Wow, you're
watch.
An OG.
Well, it was must watch. I mean, that's how old I
am. I know. Right, man. That's what I'm saying. OG, I didn't even realize. I don't remember a time College Game
Day
that wasn't
started. When they first started, they were in studio. And they never ventured out.
Took the show on the road.
And I get it, like the 972, he's going to turn 89 in August. I think Lee wants to keep doing it. I think it's not like they're saying, Lee, you've got to do it. Well, it's a Lee Corso choice.
They're going to let him keep going as long as he...
Well, and to be fair, their rumored replacement for him ain't much better. Herbstreit's dog.
Always got to take a shot.
This Ben disrespect.
Always
got to
take
this.
A shot, man. I don't know what your deal is.
I'll tell you
is
what. There's going to be a day where you and your dog is going to be running around and everybody's going to taking shots at you.
You shut your damn mouth over there, Eric. All right, let's get to the top 10,
shall we?
You need
a support animal over there.
Maybe a bee. Studio.
Maybe you can get a bee that'll go in
your my wife texted me and said, by the way, a bee is definitely not bigger than a jelly bean.
I saw a lot of pictures of bees going into straws.
Active listening.
What kind of straw?
Like, just normal straws, man. Okay. They're not very big.
We'll see it.
Top 10 most American foods in honor of the 4th of July. What are you cooking up on your Independence Day menu? That is next on The Fan.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Happy one-year anniversary to the that mother bleeper's not real chick on the airplane. It's been 1 year. Tiffany Gomez. She's a friend of the station, right? She was hanging out with Sean and RJ a while back. All right, 877-881-1053. It's time for the Wooly Bully Top 10 List of the Day. Segment's brought to you by Soda, state-of-the-art weight loss. Also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org, as well as Frankel & Frankel. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. Frankel & Frankel, the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks in DFW. If you or a loved one has been in an accident, contact Frankel & Frankel for a free consultation, 214-333-3333, or go to truckwreck.com. Around the bases in 15 minutes. But here is Zach Wolchuk, the Wooly Bully, for today's Top 10 List.
Yes, it's very American. Top 10 most American foods. Even though we're a hodgepodge of a country. We've probably taken a lot of ideas from other people, and we're calling it ours. And I'm here for it, damn it, because these are all delicious food items. What are you going to be grilling out or cooking out? Or what's on your menu for Independence Day? 214, our buddy Kenny and Quinlan said some ribs, and I'm cooking up, of course, some frozen margaritas with two shots of that rock and roll tequila.
Yeah, the margs are the main dish. That's the entree. It's just a side of ribs.
You know when I gave the speech about, man, the grill, don't be a drunk?
Yeah, you were talking to Kenny?
I was talking directly to Kenny.
As that's a veteran, dude. That's a guy who probably knows his way around some hammered grilling.
Yeah.
Maybe like falling into the pit and stuff like that, like bumping, you know, like burning his arms and like singeing hair. Could you see Kenny,
I gotta get another hip.
He's pouring tequila on his arm to get the fire.
He's got
out.
No eyebrows.
I could totally see that.
When I was thinking of Kenny, when I was talking about man the grill, don't be a drunk.
Yeah, 100%. I did see this though before we slide into the top 10. According to ESPN, hundreds of people have gone ahead and bet on Bronny to win Rookie of the Year.
Hundreds?
Hundreds. His odds are at 200-1, but he is leading the way for most bets placed for Rookie of the Year right now. And that is Bronny.
He's got the worst odds.
The odds are terrible.
Of
plus 25,000 odds he's given. Of course, Sarr is the favorite, who is the number 2 overall pick by the Washington Wizards. But maybe Bronny's got a shot at this. I mean, you know he's going to be playing. So there you go. I mean, he's not going to be on the two-way contract. We know that. So he's not going to be in the G League. But we'll see how Bronny ends up doing this year. Maybe somebody ends up cashing in a big, big way and Vegas ends up taking a loss on Bronny winning Rookie of the Year.
I think his teammate, Connect, might be able to
maybe
make some hay as the Rookie of the Year.
He was damn good. 940's cooking up ribeyes, potatoes, and corn on the grill, and the banana pudding is a must.
Dude, banana pudding on the 4th of July hits so, so fantastically. And ribeyes, I like what you're doing, 940.
I do too.
That is really dang strong.
817, I'll be at the Rangers game tomorrow. Maybe Hurtado brisket nachos. Oh, yeah.
Change that maybe to a guarantee.
Go ahead and do it.
And get the pizza dog.
That's
get
what the I'm
pizza
saying.
Dog.
The pizza
get
dog.
Pizza dog it.
Yeah, what you do is you get the nachos, but have somebody in the group grab the pizza dog.
Yeah.
And just kind of buffet that thing up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That sounds like a hell of an idea.
It's the only way to do it.
Yeah.
Nothing says freedom quite like brats with sauerkraut from the 903.
Mike Bassick was telling me the recipe that he used to make homemade sauerkraut.
Yeah.
I like what he was doing that. He just didn't go straight out of a can and say, hey, I'm showing up with the brats and stuff. He gave this thing some thought, so congratulations. Mike's driving out there right now.
You got a menu planned out, Lucius, for tomorrow?
No, I'm going to stop by Pop's house, man, and smoke some of those cigars that brought us... gave me during the Mavs run.
Yeah.
A little resposado, and Dad's going to be cooking some ribs.
Mm.
That's about it for me.
4th of July ribs.
Yeah,
man.
I need some nice cold potato salad to go with it, too, the mustard version.
The mustard version.
Yes.
Yep.
That sounds good.
Without eggs.
No. Yeah, you hate your eggs, man.
Man, if you're bringing the eggs like that, it's just the rubbery in the potato salad. I just can't.
You don't like deviled eggs either, do you?
No, not at all.
Man, I love deviled eggs. It makes no sense how much I love those things.
You know, like, you could be the nicest grandmother in the world and like try and talk me into it, and I'll just walk by. I'm sorry, I can't do that, ma'am. I'll try anything else you got on this buffet line, but I'm not going to eat your deviled egg.
Sometimes I just scoop out whatever the devil part of the egg is, and then I just eat the egg white.
Gee, bro, what the hell?
I feel like it's disrespectful.
I mean,
I sneak it.
At
I don't
least
let
you know. At least
know,
you, dude. At least you are aware, dog.
Yeah, I do know that.
I
it
appreciate
is
the honesty. I really do.
Do you do it in front of people?
No, that's what I'm saying. I like sneakily. Hey, I don't need this mayonnaise little paprika thing you got cooked up here. I just don't need it.
682 brisket and pulled pork going on the pellet grill at midnight. Of course, banana pudding. 559.
Anybody do any cobbler anymore?
I like cobbler.
I know. Why do we not do cobbler anymore?
Like maybe the banana pudding is just easier. I shut to 316.
That's not the idea.
Today's their 33rd birthday. 559, I wish I got the pizza dog, but went to the game yesterday, courtesy of 105.3 The Fan. The barbecue was bomb, though. Shout out to Tolo Chris with that. 316 going to be enjoying time on the lake. Honorable mentions for the most American foods in honor of the 4th of July. The Fluffernutter.
Whoa.
Makes an appearance.
The Fluffernutter? Is this a peanut butter and or is this a peanut butter sandwich with marshmallow fluff instead of jelly?
Is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Fluffer.
Wow. The Fluffernutter.
Yeah, dude, that marshmallow fluff is fantastic.
It's one of my new favorite categories, too, by the way.
Oh, it's a great category.
Yeah.
The Fluffernutter?
It's like behind-the-scenes vibes.
Oh.
Yeah, what a trooper, bro. What a trooper. That girl's at work.
She's really clocking in.
Wow. Man.
I looked this
that
up.
That was clocked with an L. Yeah.
I go to Reddit to watch it now because Texas, you know what I mean?
Oh, wow. You gotta
Reddit's the loophole around that?
Yeah, that's where you get all your Fluffernutter recipes at, by the way.
That's perfect. That's very American of you.
We're losing recipes.
I love it.
Yeah, that's a real position.
We are in Texas.
Yeah, are you looking to apply?
No, I'm just saying it's a real job. And hey, somebody does it and with a lot of pride.
Get paid. Yeah. You gotta do that. That's an important job.
There's some necessities in life.
Absolutely.
And that's one of the necessities.
Meatloaf, chili, s'mores, grilled cheese.
That's all one deal?
Your honorable mentions.
Missed the cut.
I thought.
Wow, chili,
man,
huh?
I'll tell you what, the grilled cheese.
I thought chili was a surefire.
I saw a recipe where dudes were doing grilled cheese hot dogs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were doing grilled cheese
hot dogs. Yeah, I've seen that. I got it saved on my Instagram if you want me to send it to you.
Please.
For some ideas there, Broadus.
Did you hit me with that?
Was that also on the Reddit?
No, I got this on Instagram.
Okay. But you got just as excited when you saw that.
Sure did.
I spent like 14 minutes watching this guy.
Grilled cheese hot dogs?
Grilled cheese hot dogs. The guy was, and this is what's psycho about it. He was doing it on a flat top.
Yeah, that's the same one.
He put the cheese on top, so he kind of packed it a little bit onto the hot dog in the bun. And then he put the cheese face down.
Ooh.
Oh, to crisp it a little bit?
Yeah, he's... That's the grilled cheese, dumbass.
Shots fired.
That was a little harsh.
Wow.
Hey, dude. You hit a harsh shut up to Walchuk like in the opener.
I'm sorry.
And now you hit me with a pretty heavy-handed, clean. Like,
I'm sorry.
That was just a full-fledged.
He's got an easy ride. He just has to sit down and do radio.
I
know. With us.
Sit down and have a good time with his buds.
I have a two, I'm just one 240 segment that I'm all responsible
for. Lashing out at us.
Eric, I apologize.
Okay.
The grilled cheese, yes. But he puts it on the flat top, and it makes like the grilled cheese sandwich.
I do like that crunch.
It's got, yeah, it's got
it's
a lot
got
of
crunch.
I'm sorry, Eric. Really, that was.
I don't apologize.
That was totally uncalled for.
It's all good. It's
I just
all
like,
good.
That was
good.
Dumbass. I mean, why it's a grilled cheese sandwich?
Yeah, you idiot.
It was just, honest reaction.
How else you make a grilled cheese
good.
Sandwich?
I mean, I liked it. I liked in the
no,
moment.
You didn't.
I did. I'm glad somebody else got a brunt of that. not named me. Yo, Broadus. We do have 817. Son's doing some peach cobbler.
There we go.
Dutch oven in the driveway with the charcoal.
There you go.
That's the cooking method. There.
Cooking method. Yep. Yep.
Not the fart situation.
Yeah. Thank God. No. Number 10 is apple pie.
I thought he was
pie.
Telling us that Derek Holland was standing in his driveway right now with a bunch of charcoal saying, let's light this grill up.
Let's do this. I'm ready for the damn cobbler. I've been waiting all day for this cobbler. Number 10, nothing's American, quite as American as apple pie. Comes in at 10.
That apple cobbler, I think, is it?
Apple cobbler.
Peach cobbler, dude.
Very delicious.
I'm just going to go any cobbler.
I'm going apple over peach.
Peach. That's a take, dude.
What about pear?
I think pear. I actually had a pear pie at one point from Central Market in the last year.
What kind of pie?
A pear pie.
Oh, pear.
It completely shocked me at how delicious it was.
We're underrating the pears, I think.
Shout out to
them. Pears are so damn good.
Yeah.
Very sweet.
Keep you on the toilet, too, if you eat enough.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Lucius was doing that every morning,
sure
right?
Sure was, yeah. Two pears and some oatmeal.
Yeah.
Woo.
Wow.
Man, you
jeez, what are you doing? How much weight did you lose?
Trying to keep that belly lean, you know what I mean?
And a heater, too. Yeah.
Number 9 is mac and cheese. 8 are the hot dogs.
Well, can we go back real quick?
Yeah.
I'm the interrupter, right?
Yeah.
Is that what I'm Lucius? The interrupter?
The interruptosaurus rex.
The saurus rex, yeah.
Prehistoric, man.
So, but going back, the mac and cheese can... It could go with anything.
I mean,
any holiday, any
it's
meal.
It's always good.
Any holiday.
Absolutely.
Right. Okay.
Hot dogs at 8. Number 7 of the most American foods is biscuits and gravy.
Whoa.
Wow. Yeah. I like that play there. I like
biscuits
what they did.
Biscuits and gravy.
Wow.
6 is cheesesteaks.
Yeah.
You kind of did your variation of a cheesesteak.
I did.
Your hot dog cheesesteak.
I did. Glizzy cheesesteaks today.
Glizzy cheesesteaks.
5 is peanut butter and jelly. The sandwich.
Yeah.
I didn't really. I mean, I figured everybody was doing that, but
that,
I
that seems to me, if you're doing that, you're kind of like the food's not coming out on time.
It's a give-up
meal.
So
I'm making some snacks.
But it's always going to be satisfying.
Here, Zach, have a PB&J while I get these ribs ready. You
well,
know?
Yeah, but this isn't a July 4th specific. This is just American.
Just American foods.
Oh, okay.
So
all right.
I get what you're
I'm
doing.
Sure a lot of people are eating these on the 4th of July too.
I love a good night PB&J sandwich.
Sign me up, man. 4
couple of them
is buffalo wings.
Mm-hmm.
3 is fried chicken.
I'd like to think Nathaniel Lowe had himself some pluckers.
Yeah. I bet he did. That's why he was so damn good yesterday.
Courtesy of the G-Bag Nation.
And fried chicken. I need to find the best one.
It's fried chicken. It's just fried chicken. I'm telling you.
No, I need to find the best one.
We need to go to Willie Mae's when it in New Orleans. That place Scotch House. It's so good there. When we go for the Super Bowl.
Okay.
That's the best fried chicken I've ever had.
The late, great Willie Mae's.
Say 2
is barbecue.
Yeah.
Just putting it, just lumping it all together.
Yeah.
It is American as heck.
That's American as heck.
It might be the one we can really most claim. Like, we did this, right?
We're barbecuing.
I think the cavemen had something to do with this.
But number 1 most American food.
The cavemen.
They
were smoking meats.
The hamburger.
Which is, it is American. It's on, when you're going to an American menued restaurant, you're assuming, like, that's the first thing that comes to my mind is like cheeseburger.
I think of Denny's, I think of the hamburger. Yeah. Honestly, I think
but
like,
it's a German German dish, isn't it?
I don't think it is.
And the Hamburg Germany thing?
I think that's a
myth buster.
It's a myth. Yeah, I think that supposedly I think somewhere in Athens, Texas, they say they created the first hamburger. But I'm sure a lot of people claim that.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I would love
guess
to
chicken fried
that.
Steak or something like
chicken
that.
Chicken fried steak definitely is an American deal. 100%.
That went on the list, right? But fried chicken was.
Everybody's co-signing your Willie Mae's.
Dude, it's so damn
there.
Good.
In
it's
New Orleans, right? Fried chicken?
Yeah, in New Orleans.
Man, I'm in.
And we can get a scotch.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It's a good place, dude. We're going to hit it up. You're going to love it.
I'll buy.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, you are going to buy to make up for that Red Foreman dumbass you just laid on me. That was pretty impressive.
I hit you right between the eyes with that thing, didn't I?
Let's go around the bases. Brought to you by Uber Eats, featuring Tyler Malley, Aaron Judge, and blaming Amazon. What did Bezos do this time? Next in the nation.
So we've got some Rangers news as we go around the bases, brought to you by Uber Eats, regarding Cody Bradford, Corey Seager, Josh Young. I do want to tell you, Tolos, you got a chance to come see us for a live broadcast on Monday, and we're also going to be giving away, while supplies last, one-of-a-kind G-Bag Nation-etched Stella chalices. They are going to be absolutely epic. So you've got a chance to grab one. It'll be part of DFW Restaurant Week's Reservation Day Happy Hour at Moxie's on 100 Crescent Court here in Dallas. So come check us out at Moxie's on Monday for the full show. You can hang out with us Monday afternoon. Get your etched G-bag glass and enjoy some fellowship with us. So that will be an absolute blast. Okay, so here's the updates right now. On the Rangers, Bruce Bochy saying that the Rangers are shutting down Josh Young until next week to rest his wrist. If all goes well, he could start a rehab assignment next week, but he's not going to return until after the All-Star break. So no Josh Young until post-All-Star break. Then Cody Bradford was throwing off the mound today. Bruce Bochy said the Rangers will most likely work him back in as a relief pitcher as opposed to stretching him out as a starter.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I mean, your starting rotation is pretty much spoken for, especially if you get Tyler Malley back soon. Now, Tyler Malley had a solid first rehab start last night at AAA Round Rock. This is following Tommy John surgery. So last night against the Sugar Land Space Cowboys, he threw 19 pitches, 12 for strikes, and two innings of work. He struck out the first batter he faced with an 83.1 mile per hour slider. He allowed one hit. Fastball sat at 92 miles per hour, reached a high of 93.5 miles per hour, averaged 92.6 last season before season-ending surgery. So the velocity seems like it's back. It's right there for Tyler Malley. So that's good news on him. That's good news on Cody Bradford. Bummer of news on Josh Young, but hopefully you get him back post All-Star break. Then Corey Seager, not in the lineup tonight. But Boch said to the media during his conversation earlier that Seager is feeling a lot better. He is not currently in the starting lineup, but he will check with him before first pitch to see how he's feeling. So I guess there's still an outside chance you could get Corey Seager possibly in the lineup if he's feeling okay. If not, maybe it's as a pinch hitter situation. But I think this is at least pointing into a positive direction where tomorrow, if you're going out to the game for July 4th on a Scherzer day with Scherzer on the bump, Corey Seager's probably going to be playing. So we'll talk with Jared Sandler coming up at 6 o'clock as we preview this game with you, get more information. But there's some updates on Malley, Bradford, Young, and Seager. We're all caught up.
Man, it's a lot to
There's unpack. A lot going on.
But we kind of felt like as the season got to the halfway point, this is what was going to start. Now, we didn't have the Josh Young stuff and Corey Seager stuff, but all these pitchers and things like that. I know Mike Bacsik and the Midday Show was going through some rehab and coming back from Tommy John and when dates were and stuff like that. So this was the time. I mean, you just got to get this thing with as much positivity as you can to the All-Star break. Let everybody go away for a week, 5 days, whatever, and kind of just catch their breath and get ready to push this thing for the second half. But, this is where, you're not in a great spot right now, but nobody in this division is running away from you.
No. I mean, you're 7 games back now.
Yeah.
After your last 2 wins. So
figure it out and, hopefully you can get some, get some guys back, get it going and start hitting the ball. They just need to find a way to play with some consistency when it comes to the hitting and the pitching. And Chris Young's been on with us talking about that.
Complimentary baseball.
That's exactly what they need right now. And if they could put a bunch of those together for the next couple of weeks, like I say, I will feel totally different about this team going. I believe this team can rally back because I just don't think the division is going to let you. I don't think the division is going to run away from you. I just don't.
Yeah. So Seattle's had playing, a great chance to do that.
If you're playing some other place and all that, you're right now thinking about, we're 14, 15, 16 games back. I mean, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah. Now, Shohei Ohtani will not take part in the Home Run Derby, which will be here at Globe Life Field.
Is that because he is a liability?
He said he's in the middle of his rehab progression, so it's not going to look like he'll be participating because he's still trying to come back and pitch. He's rehabbing that torn ulnar collateral ligament in his right elbow. So he's been swinging the bat really damn well. 27 home runs, 64 RBIs. His OPS is 1.048. But yeah, he's not going to do the Home Run Derby, which is a bummer. We know Aaron Judge isn't going to do it either. So
it sucks.
We'll see who ends up taking being part of this. Gunnar Henderson will be. We're still waiting on some other names to be listed for the Home Run Derby, which is always a fun event.
I thought it was because there was the danger liability with Ohtani hitting dongs. Did you see him just crush some kid in the forehead with his ball last night?
My Lord, that thing.
There's like 15 hands. Everybody's reaching. The ball slips through and smashes the kid right in the forehead. Kid's just sitting down. Everybody's standing up.
On a swivel.
Bunch of adults with their hands there like, somebody's going to stop this ball. Yeah. Nope. This kid's forehead did.
Maybe.
And I don't even know if he ended up with the ball. I couldn't tell.
That's the sad thing.
Somebody had to have given him the ball afterwards.
He's got the seams stuck in his forehead.
He had to have gotten the ball.
Like Harry Potter, but it's.
Yeah, he got a nice Harry Potter-esque scar there.
He's a legitimate seam head at this point, this kid.
Well, Aaron Judge, guys, he's 32 home runs already this year. He is on pace right now to break his record that he set in 2022. Right in our own backyard in Arlington with 62 home runs.
Man, we haven't really been on that type of Judge watch.
Well, I mean, it's one of those where it's like you're probably not going to start to get it until you've got like a month left in the season, 6 weeks left in the season, because you don't know if you can maintain this type of pace. But 32 home runs, I mean, the guy is also looking at maybe getting the Triple Crown by leading all three offensive categories across the American League. I mean, it's unbelievable. He leads with average at 321, home runs with 32, and RBIs with 83. The last to win a Triple Crown was Miguel Cabrera of the Tigers in 2012. Prior to that, we got to go to Carl Yastrzemski. Yastrzemski of the Red Sox in 1967. And then it was Joe Medwick in 1937.
Joe Ducky Medwick.
Holy hell. So this would be incredible if Aaron Judge is able to maintain this pace. Now, do you guys ever order shoes off of Amazon?
No.
No.
I've never done that either, but I would. I'm not saying I would not order shoes off of Amazon.
I order too.
I think I've done the thing where you go try on the shoe and make sure it fits. Like if you're getting a different brand or whatever, you just want to make sure the shoe fits right. Maybe it's a half size here or there to make sure. But you're like, I like this other color scheme, so I'll go online and order it once I confirm my size.
Well, Mets DH J.D. Martinez was forced to miss yesterday's game with the Nationals due to a minor ankle injury. And while that normally is just not a big deal, his absence was linked to a pair of cleats he had to order off of Amazon due to some logistical issues. So I guess he usually prefers to wear a model of Adidas cleats for 3 or 4 games before then he switches them out for a new pair. However, he found himself, after the most recent shipment was delayed due to a production issue, he's got to then go ahead and eye Amazon for a stopgap. So he orders a different pair of shoes on Amazon that apparently had an extra spike that he seemed to think was responsible for extra pressure that contributed to an ankle injury that knocked him out of the lineup yesterday.
Wow, this is a finger pointing if I've ever seen one.
I mean, we're blaming the extra spike on the shoe.
An extra spike.
I mean you've a life in the NFL. Yeah. I mean, with cleats, Ryan, I went
20 years without ever paying for shoes.
Well, that's amazing.
I did. I went 20 years of my life without ever having to buy any type of workout shoes.
Well, J.D. Martinez, he's playing for the Mets. The Mets just aren't buttoned up enough with their equipment staff.
Why are we not having like multiple shoes available for him? Why?
Well, apparently, Walter said they were on back order.
It was a logistical
supply chain issue.
Well, what about like what's
you don't have a backup pair?
What's our equipment man doing there?
That's fair.
Bucky Buchanan, you know,
Bucky's gonna make sure we got those Adidas cleats for you, bud.
Bucky's will run down to Dick's Sporting Goods before he puts you on the Bezos laptop and have to ship something.
I don't think there's any. I've never seen a player ask for something that Bucky didn't have. Like on the road.
Always prepared.
Always prepared.
That's why he's the best.
Anything?
He's an award winner.
Anything.
I think some of those players on the road, maybe they found their own things, but when it came to football equipment,
I'm thinking about the smelling salts.
That's a medical thing.
Oh, that's not equipment?
You got to go past the other. Now I'm going to blame. But I tell you what, right now, if you asked Jim Maurer.
That we could have gotten off Amazon.
If you ask Jim Maurer or Britt Brown, they will say, yes, we have it, but we don't have the ammonia caps.
Yeah, you can order those off Amazon.
Yeah.
I know guys that have done it.
Let's try and Hail Mary this before Oxnard so we can get the guys to go right now. Yeah.
Seriously.
The last time I did it, though, I looked and they were a little bit pricier than you wanted.
Well,
you know what I mean?
And that's
like $100 kind of thing?
There. Just say, hey, yeah, I don't want to. I just didn't want to get them. They were too expensive. Geez. I get that. Yeah. I understand.
Well, we'll see. I've been saving up.
There we go.
For a time like this.
All right, let's get into the 5 o'clock hour and do some
teacher buying our own supplies.
Some football's finest, shall we?
Yeah, I actually got an NFL challenge for you boys, and we are going to crown football guy of the day next in the nation.
So we've got some Rangers news as we go around the bases, brought to you by Uber Eats regarding Cody Bradford, Corey Seager, Josh Young. I do want to tell you, Tolos, you got a chance to come see us for a live broadcast on Monday. And we're also going to be giving away, while supplies last, one-of-a-kind G-Bag Nation-etched Stella chalices. They are going to be absolutely epic. So you've got a chance to grab one. It'll be part of DFW Restaurant Week's Reservation Day Happy Hour at Moxie's on 100 Crescent Court here in Dallas. So come check us out at Moxie's on Monday for the full show. You can hang out with us Monday afternoon. Get your etched G-bag glass and enjoy some fellowship with us. So that will be an absolute blast. Okay, so here's the updates right now on the Rangers. Bruce Bochy saying that the Rangers are shutting down Josh Young until next week to rest his wrist. If all goes well, he could start a rehab assignment next week, but he's not going to return until after the All-Star break. Mm. So no Josh Young until post-All-Star break. Then Cody Bradford was throwing off the mound today. Bruce Bochy said the Rangers will most likely work him back in as a relief pitcher as opposed to stretching him out as a starter.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I mean, your starting rotation's pretty much spoken for, especially if you get Tyler Mahle back. So now Tyler Mahle had a solid first rehab start last night at AAA Round Rock. This is following Tommy John surgery. So last night against the Sugarland Space Cowboys, he threw 19 pitches, 12 for strikes, and two innings of work. He struck out the first batter he faced with an 83.1 mile per hour slider. He allowed one hit. Fastball sat at 92 miles per hour, reached a high of 93.5 miles per hour, averaged 92.6. Last season, before season-ending surgery. So the velocity seems like it's back. It's right there for Tyler Mahle. So that's good news on him. That's good news on Cody Bradford. Bummer of news on Josh Young, but hopefully you get him back post-All-Star break. Then Corey Seager, not in the lineup tonight. But Boch said to the media during his conversation earlier that Seager is feeling a lot better. He is not currently in the starting lineup, but he will check with him before first pitch to see how he's feeling. So I guess there's still an outside chance you could get Corey Seager possibly in the lineup if he's feeling okay. If not, maybe it's as a pinch hitter situation. But I think this is at least pointing into a positive direction where tomorrow, if you're going out to the game for July 4th on a Scherzer day with Scherzer on the bump, Corey Seager's probably going to be playing. So we'll talk with Jared Sandler coming up at 6 o'clock. As we preview this game with you, get more information. But there's some updates on Mahle, Bradford, Young, and Seager. We're all caught up.
Man, it's a lot to
There's a lot going on.
But we kind of felt like as the season got to the halfway point, this is what was going to start. Now, we didn't have the Josh Young stuff and Corey Seager stuff, but all these pitchers and things like that. I know Mike Bacsik and the Midday Show was going through some rehab and coming back from Tommy John and when dates were and stuff like that. So this was the time. I mean, you just got to get this thing with as much positivity as you can to the All-Star break. Let everybody go away for a week, 5 days, whatever, and kind of just catch their breath and get ready to push this thing for the second half. But, this is where, you're not in a great spot right now, but nobody in this division is running away from you.
No. I mean, you're 7 games back now.
Yeah,
after your last two wins, so
figure it out, and hopefully you can get some guys back, get it going, and start hitting the ball. They just need to find a way to play some with some consistency when it comes to the hitting and the pitching. And Chris Young's been on with us talking about that.
Complimentary baseball.
Complimentary baseball. That's exactly what they need right now. And if they could put a bunch of those together for the next couple of weeks, like I say, I will feel totally different about this team going. I believe this team can rally back because I just don't think the division's going to let you. I don't think the division is going to run away from you. I just don't.
Yeah. So. I mean, so I mean, Seattle's had playing, a great chance to,
you're playing
to do that.
Some other place and all that. You're right now thinking about, well, we're 14, 15, 16 games back. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah. Now, Shohei Ohtani will not take part in the Home Run Derby, which will be here at Globe Life Field.
Is that because he is a liability?
He said he's in the middle of his rehab progression, so it's not going to look like he'll be participating because he's still trying to come back and pitch. He's rehabbing that torn ulnar collateral ligament in his right elbow. So he's been swinging the bat really damn well. 27 home runs, 64 RBIs. His OPS is 1.048. But yeah, he's not going to do the Home Run Derby, which is a bummer. We know Aaron Judge isn't going to do it either. So
it sucks.
We'll see who ends up taking being part of this. Gunnar Henderson will be. We're still waiting on some other names to be listed for the Home Run Derby, which is always a fun event.
I thought it was because there was the danger liability with Ohtani hitting dongs. Did you see him just crush some kid in the forehead with his ball last night?
My Lord. That thing.
There's like 15 hands. Everybody's reaching. The ball slips through and smashes the kid right in the forehead. Kid's just sitting down. Everybody's standing up.
On a swivel.
Bunch of adults with their hands there like, somebody's going to stop this ball. Yeah. Nope. This kid's forehead did.
Maybe.
And I don't even know if he ended up with the ball. I couldn't tell.
That's the sad thing.
Somebody had to have given him the ball afterwards.
He's got the seams stuck in his forehead.
He had to have gotten the ball.
Rawlings. Like Harry Potter, but it's. But it's.
Yeah, he got a nice Harry Potter esque scar there.
He's a legitimate seam head at this point, this kid.
Well, Aaron Judge, guys, he's 32 home runs already this year. He is on pace right now to break his record that he set in 2022. Right in our own backyard in Arlington with 62 home runs.
Man, we haven't really been on that type of Judge watch.
Well, I mean, it's one of those where it's like you're probably not going to start to get it until you've got like a month left in the season, 6 weeks left in the season, because you don't know if you can maintain this type of pace. But 32 home runs. I mean, the guy is also looking at maybe getting the Triple Crown by leading all three offensive categories across the American League. I mean, it's unbelievable. He leads with average at 321, home runs with 32, and RBIs with 83. The last to win a Triple Crown was Miguel Cabrera of the Tigers in 2012. Prior to that, we got to go to Carl Yastrzemski. Yastrzemski of the Red Sox in 1967. And then it was Joe Medwick in 1937.
Joe Ducky Medwick.
Holy hell. So this would be incredible if Aaron Judge is able to maintain this pace. Now, do you guys ever order shoes off of Amazon?
No.
No.
I've never done that either, but I would. I'm not saying I would not order shoes off of Amazon.
I order too.
I think I've done the thing where you go try on the shoe and make sure it fits. Like if you're getting a different brand or whatever, you just want to make sure the shoe fits right. Maybe it's a half size here or there to make sure. But you're like, I like this other color scheme, so I'll go online and order it once I confirm my size.
Well, Mets DH J.D. Martinez was forced to miss yesterday's game with the Nationals due to a minor ankle injury. And while that normally is just not a big deal, his absence was linked to a pair of cleats he had to order off of Amazon due to some logistical issues. So I guess he usually prefers to wear a model of Adidas cleats for 3 or 4 games before then he switches them out for a new pair. However, he found himself, after the most recent shipment was delayed due to a production issue, he's got to then go ahead and eye Amazon for a stopgap. So he orders a different pair of shoes on Amazon that apparently had an extra spike that he seemed to think was responsible for extra pressure that contributed to an ankle injury that knocked him out of the lineup yesterday.
Wow, this is a finger pointing if I've ever seen one.
I mean, we're blaming the extra spike on the shoe.
An extra spike.
I mean you've a life in the NFL. Yeah. I mean, with cleats, Ryan, I went
20 years without ever paying for shoes.
Well, that's amazing.
I did. I went 20 years of my life without ever having to buy any type of workout shoes.
Well, J.D. Martinez, he's playing for the Mets. The Mets just aren't buttoned up enough with their equipment staff.
Why are we not having like multiple shoes available for him? Why?
Well, but, apparently, Walchuk said they were on back order.
It was a logistical
supply chain issue.
Well, yeah. What about, like, what's
you
our,
don't have a backup pair?
What's our equipment man doing there?
That's fair. Know?
Bucky Buchanan, you know.
He's gonna, Bucky's going to make sure we got those Adidas
Bucky
cleats
is
for
not,
you, bud.
Bucky's will run down to Dick's Sporting Goods before he puts you on the Bezos laptop and have to ship something.
I don't think there's any. I've never seen a player ask for something that Bucky didn't have. Like on the road.
Always prepared.
Always prepared.
That's why he's the best.
Anything?
He's an award winner.
Anything.
I think some of those players on the road, maybe they found their own things. But when it came to football equipment.
I'm thinking about the smelling salts.
That's a medical thing.
Oh, that's not equipment?
You got to go past the other. Now I'm going to blame. But I tell you what, right now, if you asked Jim Maurer.
That we could have gotten off Amazon.
If you ask Jim Maurer or Britt Brown. They will say, yes, we have it, but we don't have the ammonia caps.
Yeah. You can order those off Amazon.
Yeah.
I know guys that have done it. We'll try and see.
Let's try and Hail Mary this before Oxnard so we can get the guys
to order them.
Yeah.
Seriously.
The last time I did it, though, I looked and they were a little bit pricier than you wanted.
Well,
you know what I mean?
And that's
like $100 kind of thing?
There. Just say, hey, yeah, I don't want to. I just didn't want to get them. They were too expensive. Geez. I get that. Yeah. I understand.
Well, we'll see. I've been saving up.
There you go.
For a time like this.
All right, let's get into the 5 o'clock hour and do some
teacher buying our own supplies.
Some football's finest, shall we?
Yeah, I actually got an NFL challenge for you boys, and we are going to crown football guy of the day next in the nation.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northside's and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.